In studying this text, I found a great description offered by pastor and scholar Thomas Walker of what makes parables like the Samaritan in Luke's gospel so compelling. They invite us to enter a new world created by the story in our imagination and to exist in that world for a while so that our own lives and understanding of the world can then be compared to and critiqued by the imaginary world of the parable. He argues that parables invite us to picture and to live in a world different from our own, a world that usually calls into question our own presuppositions and understandings about life. Simply put, parables invite us into a relationship with God's work in the world, even and especially on Sunday, July 13th, 2025. So, with the inquisitive lawyer whom we'll meet in our passage today, let us take in the wisdom of Jesus' storytelling that he offers to us in Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 37. Listen now for God's word to us. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him, took off, leaving him for half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spent.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." O Lord, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. You are certain that you know what is going on here. Of all the scripture readings that you could hear on any given Sunday, apart from maybe the Christmas story and the Easter accounts, the story of the Good Samaritan is one that you are confident that you can deliver as an elevator speech. Well, you might have forgotten that the story unfolds as Jesus interacts with a type A overconfident lawyer attempting to best Jesus in a battle of wits. You absolutely recall the innocent traveler minding his own business when out of nowhere a horde of robbers jump him and shake him down for all his possessions and beat him senseless and leave him for dead in a ditch. Monsters! It seems like you can't go anywhere these days without having to look over your shoulder. You've etched in your mind the part where Jesus mentions that both the priest and the Levite spotted this poor victim as they journeyed on that very same road and walked on by. Hypocrites! Just like church leaders today. So out of touch and so self-satisfied that they can't be bothered to get their hands dirty or connecting with folks in any way that's relevant, at the very least. And the hero, the universal model of moral conviction and ethical conduct, the Good Samaritan who goes out of his way to tend to the victim's wounds and secure his shelter and extend himself financially to ensure everyone's well-being. Why, he's the point of the whole story. And our country wouldn't be in the mess it is today if there were more people like him around. So Jesus tells us that we should go out of our way to help others by responding to their needs. There, a feel-good message for the ages, served up with simplicity for us to admire and to absorb. But here's the thing. It's not so simple. It's a parable, not a fairy tale. And there's more with which Jesus invites us to grapple. Seems like there's always more with Jesus. When we dare to let go of the comfort of being certain and allow ourselves instead to be present to Jesus' message, we learn at least three things. We must allow God to stretch us, our perceptions, our values, our beliefs about the humanity of others, in order to truly love the Lord with all our hearts and all our souls and all our strength and all our minds, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. For us today to stretch our perceptions of who is our neighbor is countercultural as we draw ever more narrow definitions of who is worthy of human regard. And however difficult it is for us to be stretched in these ways, it is imperative that we allow God to expand our capacity to embrace others. For our lives are indeed at stake. Out of curiosity, I asked ChatGPT how many institutions include the word Samaritan or the phrase Good Samaritan. It spat out at least 12 international outreach organizations within the private and public sectors that include those references or that name. You've heard of them: Samaritan's Purse, Samaritan's Healthcare Services, the Good Samaritan Counseling Network, and so on and so on. At least once a week, a news cycle features a feel-good profile of an average Joe or Jane or Jesse who came to the rescue of a kitten trapped on a median in the middle of a major thoroughfare of a highway, or who footed the bill for a struggling family's weekly groceries. We don't necessarily remember their names, just that they are a Good Samaritan. We all know good Samaritan. But back to the text. Did you notice that not once did Jesus call the man a good Samaritan? Because that appellation is not in the original text. It's an add-on. Modern Bibles add headings like the Good Samaritan or Jesus visits Mary and Martha for the benefit of the modern reader, for us to know what lies ahead. We have inserted that notion of the Good Samaritan. But what's interesting for our purposes about that is, depending on how much background we know when we read the parable, we pick up the implicit bias that is inherent regarding Samaritans in Jesus' time. The lawyer and the disciples who were present to overhear this conversation, and everyone knew that there were no good Samaritans. For generations, ancient Jews despised Samaritans as, in the words phrased in one Bible commentary, half-breeds who had refused to participate in the restoration of Jerusalem and had aided the Syrian leaders in their wars against the Jews. The only good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. Samaritan, don't let the sun set on your behind in this town. Samaritans were the other. And just before this passage in Luke, the gospel tells of how a group of disciples were thwarted in their ministry when they were expelled from a village of Samaritans. Tensions ran deep. Jesus could have used any other group to characterize the moral exemplar in the parable, yet he chose a Samaritan to accentuate his point. Who is my neighbor? Tensions run deep. Prior to having a fuller picture of the catastrophic flooding in Kerr County, Texas on Independence Day, which was responsible for at least 120 deaths with over 160 people still unaccounted for to this day, a Houston-based pediatrician reacted, as we are wont to do in these days and times, on her social media account. She posted, "May all visitors, children, non-MAGA voters, and pets be safe and dry." Kerr County, MAGA County, voted to gut FEMA. They deny climate change. May they get what they voted for. Who is my neighbor? Her narrow, conditional regard for those impacted caused public outcry and squeezed her out of her medical practice. In response, she posted, quote, "I speak to you as a mother, a neighbor, a pediatrician, and a human being who is deeply sorry. I take full responsibility for a social media comment I made before we knew that so many precious lives were lost to the terrible tragedy in Central Texas. I understand my comment caused immense pain to those suffering indescribable grief, and for that I am truly sorry. I would like to make clear that my regrettable comment was in no way a response to the tragic loss of human life, and that is a fact I deeply regret." It's hard. It's hard to imagine how a pediatrician of all people could so publicly demonstrate such a lapse in compassion, yet it shows just how difficult it can be for anyone to extend mercy and wish well-being upon the other amid cultural and political and social polarities. Luke's lawyer himself conceded to Jesus that it wasn't the priest or the Levite, those two roles appointed to function as intermediaries between the human and the divine, wasn't they who modeled compassion towards the victim in the ditch? Curiously, though, keeping us on our toes, the religious figures in the parable, the priest and the Levite, would not have been understood in Jesus's time as violating ethical norms by ignoring the victim. As the victim was left for dead by the assailants, he probably appeared to the priest and the Levite to be dead. And the Torah forbade priests and Levites from touching or being near the dead, or they would be rendered ritually unclean and unable to fulfill the duties of their office. They're not the stooges in this account. But at the same time, they're not presented as moral exemplars. It is kind of surprising when we see that that distinction, the actual moral exemplar that Jesus lifts up, ironically, happens to be the estranged and ritually unclean Samaritan. Jesus challenged the lawyer to stretch his definition of neighbor and his responsibility for compassionate action in response to suffering, beyond comfort, beyond familiarity, and beyond the conventional understandings of piety. What must I do to inherit eternal life, Jesus? That was the original question. 2 Sundays ago, we heard the invitation to consider what it is to live a good life. We ask ourselves with the lawyer today, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, stretch your imagination beyond who your neighbor is and extend yourself to help them. Go and do likewise. The lawyer received a practical challenge from Jesus to live righteously in ways for which he was not prepared. And what of us today? Are we prepared? As we're inundated with images of masked figures whisking people out of cars and dragging them from fields, of officials declaring in the wake of millions losing access to health care that everybody dies, how are we to be stretched to embrace anyone as our neighbor? In the words of the Breton fisherman's prayer, O God, thy sea is so great, and my boat is so small. Pray with me, please. God, you have given us our work to do. Create a good work within us. that we may respond to your call to stretch our imagination and therefore our compassion to regard all as our neighbor and to accompany them when they need our help. Amen.